in the Bible, and we're going to look at that as an example. So we've gone through the Matthews, we've gone through Matthew, we haven't looked at Peter yet, and we've been pushing him towards the end. We have some different ideas about the Peter one. We have not done two of the lesser known disciples. Not sure if we're really going to spend a whole lesson on them because we just don't have that much information about them. But we will probably at least highlight them and look at our disciples of today, difference between disciples and apostles. But we're to me, the fun and interesting part is learning about the individual person, and so we can learn and grow from that. So we're here at the Apostle Paul, and the cool thing about Paul, we know a ton about him. And so it's kind of difficult to try to narrow it down to one 30 to 35 minute lesson, but Paul also gives his testimony a number of times, so that's a good thing. We don't have to feel like we're making up when he got called and have to speculate on things. It's found there, it's written, and it's written multiple times because he gave it to multiple people. I like it when it says, how do you know he was an apostle? It says it over and over in the Bible. Paul's writing this letter. It says Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle. He says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. See, there are some people out there today that say that they're apostles, and I think the apostles were a certain sent group specifically. It was those 11 disciples and Jesus, and those 11 were sent out by Jesus, and they're the apostles, and there's the 12. The person that says they're apostle today, I guess think they're a little confused by wanting to be a disciple or a follower. I'm not picking on them, but I think Paul's saying here, look, I didn't ask for this job. This is something that God called me to do. And he says it over and over, an apostle. You go to the letters, that's how he begins it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of God. And I like Galatians 1:1 the best because he says it's not of men, neither by man. So, a calling that God has on your life is not because you've asked for it, but because God's given it to you. It's not of men. When someone asks, when did you decide to become a preacher? When God told me to do it, and when I finally surrendered to it. So there's a calling of God. We all have callings of God. None of us can control if we have children or not, right? But God calls us to be children, fathers and mothers sometimes when he allows us to have children. There's a calling of God on our life. I know you choose to be a husband or wife. Whether you accept the calling of God of being the proper biblical husband and wife, that's another question. So let's jump into this about the Apostle Paul here. And we got some different interesting things. Hopefully you got your handout. Paul is a little bit different than the other ones because we see the call of Paul at the beginning. But Paul here is not a willing disciple. All the other guys, when they came, it was a willingness. Matthew heard the call and he got up and ran away. Paul had the experience and also the background and testimony of being a person that persecuted Christians, a person who would murder and at least have a part in murdering Christians. A person that is would go to churches and go to places and travel around Jerusalem and taking men and taking women and separating from their family and putting them in bonds and putting them in jail. So you hear Matthew's story as a publican. Yeah, he sold out, but he was a tax collector. You can't be much worse than that. Well, you can. Paul here is a guy who wasn't a willing participant at the call. Instead, God had to allow something to happen, and he was a follower of Jesus Christ. So always we try to do a little bit interesting stuff in this. Some background there. One of the first things you see here, and this is a discussion amongst Bible students, was Paul married or was Paul a widower? Because you see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, he says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. And he says, it means it's good not to be married. It doesn't mean that. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, it's a great chapter of the Bible talking about husbands and wives, responsibilities they have to one another, responsibilities they even physically have to one another. And it's saying if you cannot control your body and your desires, it's better to get married. But Paul is saying, look, it's even greater. And what does that mean? It means that he had a greater amount of time and energy to put inside his ministry. And that's what he's saying here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he was married. Some people think because of the tenderness he wrote with and because of the things he wrote about marriage that he was married and that he became a widower somewhere in his life. That's all speculation. We don't really know. Some people think that was his thorn in his flesh. It's because he didn't have a wife and that they didn't have some help. I don't think that was it. I don't think the case is, but I also don't think if he did have a wife that that was his thorn in the flesh either. So, I hear that story sometimes for people that are single. They say it's better to be single and wish you were married than to be married and wish that you were single. And that's just the reality of it is. It is better to be single and wish that you were married than to be married and wish that you were single. And Paul here is saying, well, you have this opportunity. You can give more of yourself for the things of God and the things that God desires for you to do. So we know he's born in Tarshish. And he's called Saul of Tarshish a number of times. His education, we know a little bit about it. He was, as you go and you study, he gives in his testimony here in a second we're going to read, but he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And you know, once again, this is a very first-class education, not only in religion. You can tell by the authors and poets that he writes in his letters and his definitions, his arguments, his reasoning. He was a very intelligent man. He knew the Jewish law frontwards and backwards. He studied from one of the greatest professors of that day, Gamaliel. He practiced the Jewish law. He embraced the studies. He did it enthusiastically. He also was a tent maker by trade. It's something that he would go in and he would make the tents in order to help pay for himself and his missionary travels and his missionary journeys. Last one is found about his name. And this is an interesting thing as you're studying. We know that he was Saul of Tarshish. And then in chapter 13, verse number 9, he becomes to be called Paul. And I know we hear preachers all the time talking about, you know, it was a new life. God changed his life. God did this and that. And there is some meaning to that. But in all reality, the name Saul has the idea of being the Hebrew name. And the Roman name is Paulus. And that Saul would have been something he would have been called in the Jewish area, which is where he was doing most of his work up until the time he would began to be called Paul, which would have been his Roman name. Paul or Paulus, Saul actually means to be desired. Paul is derived from the word Paulus, which means small or little. So some people think the Apostle Paul, because of his name, was a smaller guy. So if you're a little bit shorter, you're probably in good company. Reese will always say small things comes in good packages. And so it's because she's a little bit shorter. But so that's what we think and what we know about Paul and a little bit about his background, a little bit about his history. There's, like I said, some of this stuff is speculation. Some of the stuff we can learn from tradition and history. But all those things are good and important things. Okay, let's see here. Let's look into what the Bible says now. Acts chapter 22. Let's go ahead and read his testimony. Now, so Paul is getting ready to be, was getting attacked by the Jewish people in chapter 21. They were going to rip him to shreds, kind of makes it sound like. In chapter 22, he gets the opportunity to speak to this mob. Go up a couple of verses in chapter 21. Verse 38, and Paul was led into the castle. And so once again, when they were there and they were trying to get him and kill him, he's saved by the chief captain. He's led into the castle. He speaks unto the chief captain. He said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" He's surprised that, you know, he thinks he's some type of criminal. He's some type of vagabond, that he wouldn't be able to speak in the same language that the Roman soldier would know and understand. And then the Roman soldier or the chief captain says, "Are not thou the Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers?" And he says, "I thought you were this guy we were looking for because of all the uproar." And once again, when a mob starts happening, they start saying different things. Not everybody knows what's going on, but they hear things and they get all upset. Verse number 39, but Paul said, "I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarshish, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city." He says, you know, this is who I am. And he says, "I beseech me to speak unto the people." Now, he also is a Roman citizen. He did not use that right at that point in time because he wants to speak to the Jewish people that were there. Verse number 40. And when he had given him license, which means go ahead and talk, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. He's trying to get them to quiet down. And when there was made a great silence, everyone's quiet, they're willing to let this man speak. When there was a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, "Men, brethren, and fathers, Hear ye my defense, which I make unto you now unto you. So he's speaking to this crowd that wanted to put him to death and have him put, you know, pretty much because of what he had been teaching. And then he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew. He explains this to the Jewish people, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. Yet brought up this city at the feet. So at a young age, Paul was transferred to Jerusalem. And he's saying, I was brought up in this city, referring because they're in Jerusalem where the castles are at the feet of Gamaliel. Everyone would know that teacher's name. And taught according to the perfect manner of the law. He says, I know the same things that you understand and you know and you believe. He says, of the law of the fathers. And he says, it was zealous towards God, as ye are all this day. He says, I know you're zealous about this, and I understand that. I was the same way. And then he says in verse number 4, he begins to give his testimony. I persecuted this way unto death, saying, you know, I understand why you feel this way. I was persecuting people the same way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So he says the things he did. As also the high priest does bear me witness, saying the high priest would say the same things, he did these things. And all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received letters. And so this is when he began to go to Damascus. The high priest, the elders gave him letters to be able to go to Damascus to arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem. I received letters unto the brethren and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon. So probably where one of the brightest times of the day, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. So there was a great light upon even the brightest part of the day. Verse number 7, he's telling his conversion testimony. I fell into the ground and heard a saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answer, who art thou, Lord? He's recognizing that whoever is able to have this light and whoever is able to speak to him from the sky must be God. And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I think Paul knew who it was, but he was responding by asking that question. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to them. So you can imagine you're there. He's there with a group of guys. They're bringing people back to Jerusalem. He sees the light, he hears the voice, the men only see the light. And they, in verse number 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? He recognizes that it is God and that someone who should be Lord of his life. And he's saying to Jesus, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. So he says, this is what you're supposed to do, go to Damascus. Verse number 11, and when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. So he was blind because of this. He was led by his hand. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. And that's why you get this idea that they're brothers in the Lord, because once you become a child of God, you're brothers and sisters. So that's why we call people brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, because of that relationship we have as a member of God's family. And came verse number 13, came unto me and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. So he was healed from his blindness. And he said, the God of our fathers have chosen thee. And once again, Ananias is saying to Paul what God told him to do. Earlier in verse number 10, he says, look, you go to Damascus, you follow the commandments that I give you, then you will find out what you're supposed to do. It teaches us as we follow the Lord's commandments, he reveals unto us what he wants us to do. And then he says in verse 14, the God of our fathers have chosen thee, that thou shouldest not know his will and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So he's referring to the fact that he is going to see Christ. Some people believe it's there in that vision that he had on the road to Damascus. He was also personally taught by the Lord in the desert of Arabia for a period of time. We'll go over that in a little while. And shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Do I know how all that happened? No, but just know by the testimony that's given in the Bible. Verse number 15, for thou shalt be a witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. Now, why tarriest thee, and thou, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So there is the testimony that Paul gives. So we have Paul's call on his life is your next thing. Paul's call is somewhere around here. There it is. Paul's call. He was on his way to persecute Christians. He was headed to Damascus, and on the calling, he met the Lord, and then he was called directly to go to Damascus and say, we're going to tell you what you want. So God gave Paul's calling a distinct calling. Look at Paul's faith. He believed Christ. Look what it says in Acts chapter number 9, verses 17 and 18, talks about how he calls him Lord, how he responds. In verse number 10, he goes to Damascus. He listens to the Lord. He believes in him. In Galatians chapter 11, verses 20, Galatians chapter 1, let's go ahead and take our Bible there. Verses 11 through 24 is another one of those testimonies that Paul gives. And upon this testimony, it teaches us some more things about him. I know this morning's lesson is a little bit more teaching, but it helps you understand a little bit more about Paul. It sees a little bit more about his life. And that's what we're learning about these disciples, the different type of people that God calls. Nowhere else do we see their education levels. And many of them were common people to where they probably did not have the education that Paul had or the zealousness that Paul had about the law. You know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, it says. But God can take that type of religious person and make them a true follower of Christ, like we saw the supernatural thing that happened on the road to Damascus. I know this is a little bit repetitive, but it gives you a little bit more details about Paul's calling and his testimony. Galatians chapter number 1, look at verse number 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. He's saying, the things that I've received did not come from an individual. He said, well, of course it came from the Bible. Well, you know, Paul wrote this, so the Bible wasn't there yet. They had the Old Testament. The gospel message sometimes had been written, part of it had been written by this point in time, but most of it hadn't been even penned yet. And he's saying, look, I did not just get this from one of those other 11 apostles. Paul even says, I didn't even go see those guys. And I didn't learn this from somebody else. He's saying, I heard this directly from the Lord. And that's what he's saying here in verse number 11. I certify you, he's saying, he's proven to you, that the gospel which was preached of me, the gospel that I'm preaching to you, didn't come from an individual, didn't come from a person, and it's not after a man. And remember, Galatians is written to prove that, because the book of Galatians is about that you need to work your way to heaven, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Paul's saying, the things I heard from the Lord. Verse number 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is that Christ has revealed this unto him. For ye have heard of my conversion in the time past, talking about what happened in Damascus, and the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and it profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. And here's the point he's saying, you know, I was the guy that was doing all that, the things that you say that we're supposed to do. I was more zealous. I accomplished more than anyone else accomplished. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me into by his grace. And he's saying there that God had this plan for him all along. And isn't it great? God knows everything about us from the beginning to the end. He calls and has a call of God on our hearts and has a call of God on our life. He calls him to salvation by his grace. Does that mean only certain people are called? No. It means that God's foreknowledge and his foreknowledge, he knew that Paul was going to accept him and that he had a plan and a purpose for his life. And continues in verse 18, to reveal his son in me, and that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred with flesh and blood. Neither when I, and they say, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He says, I didn't go to somebody else to figure out if this is true or not, but it was revealed unto him. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He says, I didn't go ask the other 11 guys, but instead I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter. So after 3 years of learning and being taught these things, not by man, but by the revelation of Christ. Once again, there wasn't the word of God that was there. It was God that was teaching him these things. He saw Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. And he's saying, these are the things, this is the truth about the gospel. I'm not lying. I didn't receive it from Peter. And as the people were making accusations, you just believe what those men says. He's saying, God revealed these things unto me. And afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was known by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. He's saying, these are all things that I did. I didn't go to the Jewish people. The apostles were doing that. I went and did what God called them to do. But they had heard only that which he persecuted us in times past, now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Talking about, they used to try to destroy Christianity. Now he is claiming the cause of Christ. And I love that. You think about it, that shows you the type of change we can have in our lives. Don't say that God can't make a difference in your life, because he can. He went from being a persecutor to a missionary. And that's what we can happen in our lives. If we allow him to, we can become a new creature. But not only as a new creature in Christ, we can begin to act like that new creature. Verse number 24, and they glorify God in me. So, you have another testimony there. He shares his testimony in the book of Galatians, and you hear that he believed Christ. So this talks about Paul's faith. And this is showing us the change that he made and the problems he had. You know, most of us would think, Apostle Paul come to preach, we pack out the church, right? I mean, wouldn't you think that, you know, with Apostle Paul? And that's what he's saying here, is that there's a lot of people in the church of Corinth, and he wrote 2 Corinthians just to prove his apostleship. Even though he went there and he had started the church, there's people who crept in, started saying bad things about him, and they began to turn their back on him. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He is sharing his testimony with this church of Galatia because he had started this church, but people had crept in and said, hey, look, not only do you need to be saved by grace, but you still have to follow the law. And that was contrary to what God's word had taught Paul, and also what he has taught throughout the gospel of Jesus Christ too. Paul's faith. And so I guess the one thing that comes along with this, you say, well, Pastor, how do we apply this? And I'm glad you asked. God can teach us his word. And we don't have the revelation that Paul had on the road to Damascus, but we do have the completed word of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We can learn truth if we will get into the word. He'll reveal things unto us, and he'll teach us and lead us and guide us in those things. So let's think a little bit about Paul's ministry. There's a lot of things here. Paul preached the gospel, and he says, yea, so I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. He's saying this again, that, hey, look, I was there. I didn't go down that same street again to preach the gospel to the same people that live near my house. And that's, you know, so often that's where people are in Elizabeth City. And that's what God's called us to do. But yes, he's saying, I went and preached it where Christ's name has not been given. They didn't know who Jesus Christ was. Lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. So God was calling him to go to the Gentiles. God was calling him not to go to the Jewish people at that point in time. It was a tested doctrine. It was a tested doctrine. One of Paul's ministries as an apostle, he preached the gospel, but he also, as he started these churches, he would test the different doctrines of the people to make sure that the people who came were not being false prophets and false apostles. Go ahead and take your Bible, 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about how people can transform themselves into looking like angels of light, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, but in all reality, they're doing the work of the devil. And once again, I'm not here to try to run anybody else down, but at the same time, if someone is an apostate and someone's not preaching the gospel and someone is taking people away from the truth, there's a problem with that, and Paul calls them out on it. And that's what he's saying here, and that's one of his jobs as an apostle, one of his jobs of his ministry, was not just to preach the gospel. When he went in and he started these churches, he set the churches up according to how God led him to, and then he would leave, he would write letters back and tell them truths, that things that they were struggling with. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians, and look at what it says in verse chapter 11, verse number 12. But I do that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion. He's saying, I'm going to tell you this now, so that way you won't allow these people to speak, allow these people to influence you. That wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We live in a day and time today where everybody says, you know, all religions should just get together and work together. And that's headed to a one world religion someday. And but what the Bible is saying here is, and what Paul is saying here, is that they would be as we are, found at the end of verse number 12, that they may be found even as we, that in the day of judgment, that they would be believers and that they would get right. And then he says, it's amazing to some people that people who would call themselves preachers and people who would call themselves pastors or people who would call themselves sent by God would teach a false doctrine, that would teach something that was not right. The Bible over and over talks about as a preacher or a pastor or a Christian leader should not be greedy of filthy lucre. Why is that? It's because some people enter into a ministry to get money and to get things. You see these mega churches, and I don't know the hearts of the people, but I know sometimes people, when they're asking for millions of dollars and when people are asking for people to buy them luxury jets and things like that, and they're not preaching the truth, they're not preaching the gospel, those are the people that Paul's warning against. He's saying we must not yoke up with them because our desire is that they be as we are. And the fact that they need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they need to come through Jesus Christ because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if they're not preaching and teaching that, they are, what Paul says here, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. There are people who are saying we are followers of Christ, but they're not teaching the truth that God taught them. And so it's important. And he says, don't be surprised by that. Don't be surprised when there's a preacher that gets up there and says, hey, I don't really like preaching about sin. It makes everybody sad. That's an apostate, because a preacher is going to say, you're a sinner because you want to see them saved. They can't get saved until they realize I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a savior. And so it's important to understand that. He says, don't be surprised when there's preachers out there today that aren't speaking the truth. The devil himself used to transform himself into looking like an angel of light, a messenger of God. And I know it's not a popular thing, but it says down there in verse number 15, therefore is no great thing if his ministers. And so some people don't like it when we say it's either of God or it's of the devil. Well, they're sincere. It says his ministers. They don't even realize what they're doing. There is a wicked one that is behind every false cult, and that's behind every false doctrine. It's the devil. And I'm not saying people are serving the devil on purpose, but either we're servants to God or we're servants to the devil. And that's what it's saying. They are his ministers. When we do things that are wrong, we're pleasing the devil. And that's hard to take, and that's hard to grasp and hard to understand. But that's what he's saying. They're his ministers. And when we choose to do what we want, the devil's happy and the Lord's unhappy. And so that's, we'll keep on going here. But Paul's ministry, he tested doctrine. That's one of the things he did. He tried to keep the churches pure. He remained loyal to God. Go ahead and take your Bible to chapter number 11 there. I guess you're right there. And look at what it starts saying about all the things he experienced in verse number 23. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And they, ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Now listen to what he says, what he experienced as a follower. He stayed faithful. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day. I have been in the deep. And journeyings often, and perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils by my own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness. He's saying everywhere he was in danger. And perils in the sea, and perils of false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness. And watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, I experienced all those things, and then I still had to act as someone who's trying to head up these churches, and the care and concern he had. And then he says in verse 29, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And Paul is saying here, I have faced all those things, and I was able to stay faithful to God. What is our excuse sometimes? don't know about you, but I want to be more faithful. And I want to be faithful to God and His work and His will. I read those verses and they seem like it's so far fetched that how can someone go through all that? But that's what the story is. That's what the apostle is. That's why God was able to use him so much. It's like he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself. These are things that we can learn. God can take a person who used to persecute the church and make him do a complete turnaround and be loyal and faithful, not just loyal and faithful to the calling and the easy work that we would consider. He would go and he would give of himself, and he gave himself to be burned out for Christ, in a sense. He gave his life for it. Let's keep on going. Paul's qualifications as an apostle. Go ahead and take your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1. There's some different things in there that you can see that certain requirements for being an apostle, according to what I believe the Bible teaches us. That's why when a person says today that they are an apostle, I think they're mistaken, because they've never seen the resurrected Christ, where Paul had that opportunity. Acts chapter number 1. Now, what do we have here? The disciples are in the upper room. Jesus has just ascended up into heaven. Jesus told them to go, and Jesus told them to wait. And once again, this is another not controversial thing, but this is something we learn and we grow from. If you have a little difference of opinion, so be it. Someday when we get to heaven, you'll find out that I was right, you were wrong. No. But verse number 21, it says, now there's 11 of them there. They know that the Bible teaches that there's supposed to be 12 apostles. So the 11 with the group of early believers take it upon themselves to make the decision who the 12th apostle is going to be. Look what it, and that's kind of gives you where we're at in verse 21. Wherefore, one of the men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out in and out among us. So they began to come up with their own qualifications, what they think the apostles should be. It should be somebody that was back there from the beginning. Verse number 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us. It should have been someone who was with us from John all the way till he was ascended. Now, once again, in my mind, that's their opinion. Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? Someone who has seen the resurrected Christ. Obviously, they were not there for the resurrection, but they had seen the resurrected Christ. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, whose surname is Justus, and Matthias. So they looked at all these qualifications. They came up with their own decision. It's these two guys. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, thou Lord, which thou knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. So they casted lots. It's sort of like drawing a name out of a hat. It's something they did back in the Bible times every once in a while. Did not say it was God ordained in this situation. They decided this for themselves. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So they chose their 12th apostle. In my mind, that's not going to be the guy that's going to be in heaven as the 12th apostle. In my mind, it's going to be Paul. You say, well, how do you know that to be sure? Well, they were not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God did not give, you don't see anywhere that God gives them this direction. And we don't hear from Matthias ever again. You say, well, you never heard from some of the other guys. I agree, but Paul keeps on saying, written under the inspiration of Jesus Christ, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And there was only those 12 that met those requirements that were sent out to begin the early church age. So that's my reason and my thinking for the fact that Paul is the qualified last apostle. He saw the post-resurrected Christ. He was chosen by God directly. He received teaching directly from Christ, and he fulfilled the duties of an apostle. But like I said, if you think it's Matthias, so be it. Let's keep on going. There is also certain gifts that were given to the apostles. Yes, some of these gifts were given to others in that day. They were not only apostles, but they were followers. We call these sign gifts. This is before the written word of God. After the Bible, after the New Testament was finished, these gifts have ceased. And that's what I believe the Bible would tell you, and the Bible teaches us. We don't have time to get into all that. Can God heal? Yes, God can heal. Does God use individuals like healers, faith healers? I do not believe that's of God. If you want to argue with me, that's fine. But the Bible says that these things have ceased. Miracles, can God make miracles happen? Sometimes when everything works out perfectly, in my mind, it's a miracle. But it's not from one individual that's going up, laying his hands on someone being healed that way. Prophecy and visions, speaking in tongues, all those things were things that the Apostle Paul had the opportunity to be a part of, had the opportunity to do because of his apostleship. Now, these spiritual gifts that we have today, these are non-revealing gifts. And what do you mean? Well, Paul was going into areas of countries and places he had never been before. He did not speak all their languages. Speaking in tongues, in my mind, it refers to speaking another language. He could speak something in his own term and his own language, and someone else would hear it. That is something that's more of not just the gift of tongues, is the gift of hearing. He would go into all these areas, and to prove that he was sent by God, he would heal people, and that would give them respect to listen to his message. They are called revelatory gifts. You know, that's you know, how somebody that's really smart might use that word. But there is a revealing gift. Now, with the gifts that we have today that we see in the Bible and the spiritual gifts that we've been given that we can understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, it gives you a list of different gifts that are appropriate for us today. And then it says here, let all things be done decently and in order. A gift that God gave, he's not going to give it to an individual to get rich on. That's not found in the apostles' life. You know, you'll see that in the day and time we live in today with these faith healers and with these other people. They're using these gifts to cause people to want to send them money so that way they can become healed. Now, once again, can God heal? Of course he can heal. He can, but he's not using men this way. The whole point of these gifts was to preach Christ. The whole point of these gifts was to go into areas they had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Paul would go and he began preaching the gospel with the help of the Holy Spirit. He would allow these miracles to happen. And if these miracles happen, then people are going to wonder what he's saying. It gives validity to the truths that he's teaching and preaching. And the whole point of these gifts is to preach Christ. And because people received these gifts from the Holy Spirit, they could not use them in a way to contrary to God's character. And that's one thing that you would sit there and you listen and you consider, is that person really doing the work of God? Because if God's giving them the gift, God's giving them the power, guess what? They're gonna be producing the fruit of the Spirit. It's gonna be God's blessing is on their heart and God's blessing is on their life. And that's why I would tell you to be careful with the day and time that we live in of all these things. You know, that's a whole nother sermon, a whole nother message why we believe where the Bible says tongues have ceased and these other things have ceased. Am I picking on anybody that experienced those things? I am not. I also think they're just misguided and misjudged. And once again, if it doesn't come from God, it has to come from somewhere else. So next thing, that's it. Paul's death. And now we don't have Paul's death recorded in the Bible. We do have history that tells us that. Paul, we know from chapter 28, Paul had been sent to Rome. He is going to appeal to Caesar. He's placed under house arrest. He preaches the gospel. Other people come in for about a couple years. Now, some traditions tell us that Paul was released at that time, and he went on one more missionary journey, and then he was taken back, brought before Nero, and then he lost his life by having his head chopped off. And that's Paul's life and Paul's ministry. You know, the amazing thing is God can use people from all walks of life, all amounts of intelligence, gifts, all those things. God is able to use us. When you look at these 12 ordinary men that God allowed to become the apostles and change the world and turn the world upside down, not because of the men, that would be foolish, but because of the Holy Spirit of God working in them. It's the same Holy Spirit of God that's available to us, and if you're a believer, that lives in us and gives us the opportunity to be led by him, guided by him, taught by him, so we can make a difference in this world. I like the stories of the apostles. They show us that they're not perfect. Paul definitely wasn't perfect. I was talking to somebody yesterday. He said, I have a past. I says, we all do. And I told him a little bit my, you know, well, you grew up in church and you did these things. You never did this, never did that. I says, we all have a past. I used the example of Paul. The hatred he had, the killing, all those things, God could still use them. God can change a person's life. So that teaches us what we can do, but also teaches us who we should reach out to. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be done. Dear only